Ladies and gentlemen, step right up. Let's go see the elephant. Well, I'm a roadrunner, honey.
Did they pack away some pasta last night? My God almighty, you should have seen them going at it. Welcome to the show, folks. You are listening to the American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time Show. Coming to you once again tonight back in the Mercury Free Studio Complex. Don't forget, for the very best in Mercury Free dental care, call my dentist, Dr. James E. Hardy, at 407-678-3399. Welcome to the show. As I said, folks, I am Christopher Hart, along with the chairman of the board, Mike McBath, who was the driving force, the genius behind our show last night. He's in the studio with us, David Levitt, Refresh Computers. David, Dave4House.com is in the studio with us as well.
Dave is in the house.
And we are, once again, up on YouTube, our channel, Adversaries TV. Go there, type in Periscope, and there we will be, because Lucas Paris has us up on the Periscope.
There may be
tonight.
Some spaghetti on the... You better wipe that red stuff off the top of that. You know, the screen.
I tell you what, he was doing a masterful job last night.
Following the action. Outstanding, right?
It was. The whole night was. Nicholas Cicero, of course, is on the battle bridge. 407-774-8255 is our number. And it was a hoot last night. And I want to thank everyone who did come out, and we'll be mentioning some people here. But what a show,
Chris! I'll tell you, it was a packed house, and that was funny. It sort of leaked into the restaurant. You had so many people in there.
Yeah. It was standing room only.
It was, and even afterwards, I mean, everywhere. I couldn't even find a seat at the bar, and you know that's really bad. But I mean, that was the turnout, which is really admirable. What was this? The thousands and some show of American Adversaries?
Well, it was our 913th daytime show, but you tack on to that 250, I think we're up to like 255 now, Sunday night shows, so we're well over 1,000.
And it was great to see the fans that came out, and you know, the people who have actually, you know, called in a lot, put forth their ideas and thoughts, and supported, you know, candidates that certainly the show likes, and you couldn't ask for more. But Now, let's talk a little bit about our...
Well, first of all,
there was a major upset last
night. I want to say, it was such a blast when I turned the microphone over to you, and you and Ken were doing the play-by-play, because I was, you know, sort of roaming around, watching the action, keeping the clock, and I could hear you over there. I can't believe this. There's a major upset in the making here.
I know, this is shocking. Well, let me just give you a little background on that. You know, the front runner, really, realistically, is Reggie Branch, right? Yep, you know, he played in the Super Bowl, played in the NFL a long time. Here's a guy, he even called me, right? Get this, around 12 that day, he goes, you know, Mike, before I come over, I'm going to go work out a little bit. And, you know, here's Reggie, 6'1", 265. Yep. I'm thinking, my God, is he into it, right? He's going to work out, you know, treadmill, pump some iron, do the whole act. I figure, absolute lock. You know, no one can beat him, right? And then we have little girl Rachel. What is she, 5'3" or something?
5'1", 5'2",
just that.
Yeah. Then we have Wendy, you know, around 5'6". And then we have our male competitors. I figure, blowout, right? Wrong. Chris, as we know, Reg, if you're listening, you got to move on to either another menu, because spaghetti is not your deal, buddy. I mean, tell him, Chris, the young man who won,
David Sink.
David took down 7 plates of spaghetti, and Reggie was barely past 2. I mean, that is embarrassing.
That was amazing.
Wendy from the Pred Heads, and you know, the Pred Heads were out in full regalia.
Pred Nation.
The Pred Nation was there, the number one sports club, actually, in all sports in the country.
That's right.
They sent their best people, and Wendy, a young lady, well, I don't know. Well, yeah, we'll call her young lady.
Yes.
She ate a plate and a half. Reggie's knocked out at 2 plates. This young man's knocked out at 7 plates and wins. But I figure the one who ate the least was Rachel, our commentator who comes on. But the problem was she only had a fork that was about 2 inches long.
I know, and she brought her own utensil. It looked like one of those little pickle forks you would see in some fine dining restaurant or something.
I know, Chris, I didn't know that you told her we're going to have pickles with a spaghetti or what was going on. And then I asked Rachel, I said, Rachel, you're only just putting a strand at a time, and then I noticed that you had a glass of wine sitting. I mean, this is a contest, bro.
Now, I tell you, that's the way to do it, though, see?
She won the best class.
I tell you, she did.
Oh, without a doubt. And then the other thing, which I had to ask Chris later about, I'm looking down the table, and some guy, like, fills in at the end of the table. I'm like, Chris, I think I said some guy just figured he'd get a free dinner. You know, the guy's like, and he had a martini with him. I'm going like this, what type of contest is this? I want the true winner.
No, I invited, that was Chris Kassler, and I invited him when the arms room guys, their flight was delayed back from Phoenix, and they couldn't make it. So I said, Chris, you want to do this? He said, sure. So I said, just take your drink with you. Have a seat.
Well, yeah. I mean, and think about that. The enthusiasm shown by the crowd was big. Yeah, they're yelling and screaming, you know, and they had their emotional favorites and everything. Right. And then once we realized it was over for Reggie, you know, Reggie, you can pick your spaghetti up and leave, buddy. Box it and out the door.
You know, probably the most comical moment was the first few seconds, because you could see the steam coming off. And I don't think they all thought it was going to be so hot. And they all started to just shoveling. It's like, whoa, wait a second. It's just hot.
You know, you're right. When they yelled over to me, Mike, the spaghetti's hot. And I thought they meant like peppers. I go like this. Well, you know, I like peppers and stuff. Give me a, you know, I didn't realize they meant like hot.
No, it was fresh. It was right out of the kitchen. And it smelled delicious. I don't know if they could even taste it as it was going down. Some of them probably never want to see another plate of spaghetti in their life. I don't know. But it sure smelled good. And I must compliment the kitchen, because they kept that spaghetti coming.
They kept it rolling. Yeah,
nobody, you know,
waited. There was never a time delay. There was no penalties. I didn't see anybody shoving spaghetti under the table or in their pants.
So
I thought it was very fairly run. We had judges. Yeah. But this was a clear-cut decision. This wasn't even, six and a half plates versus seven or something like that. This was clear-cut. I mean, our guy,
David Sink, had the technique down. He took his water. He would pour water into the bowl for two reasons. To cool it off, and then to help it go down. And then I noticed he stood up a couple times and kind of did a little wiggle.
He was shaking and baking, man. I'm going, wow, this guy could be at Nathan's Hot Dog next year. We might be looking at a world champion before it's over.
I was talking to his father, Darren, and by the way, David was the audience entry. And and his father, I was talking to him afterwards, and he was saying, I have to work 7 days a week. I said, why is that? He said, to feed this kid. That's
how. Oh, I can imagine. He's a student at UCF, and I would think he's... Yeah. Well, I was going to say I thought he'd probably be a pretty good student, but he might be in the restaurants all the time. I don't know.
From what I understand, he's in Dr. K's class, and he's a model student. So,
He's a model eater, I can tell you that.
And once again, we want to thank David Levitt for putting up a $200 gift certificate, the fellow in
and that
college,
was so
sure.
appropriate for it the young so man that won it. He's a UCF student.
That's right.
Yeah. I mean, that was really terrific. And he was really, and the parents were, everybody was thrilled about the prize. I thought that was perfect.
Everybody had a great time. And the Wounded Officers Initiative entry, David Ogletree, boy, he put up a great fight.
He was tough. Remember, he was down to the last meatball before he went down the tube. He was pushing the winner and very much pushing him.
Actually, he was a little bit in the lead there in the very beginning.
Yeah, four plates. Then he started feeling it.
It was the two Davids. It was Dave and Dave back and forth. And then David Sink took over, and it was like a horse race, and everybody was chasing him.
That's right.
And back in the pack. And then, but we did have... after the contest was over, we re-examined the plates, and we determined that Dave actually was kind of tied with another competitor, so we went ahead and offered 2 second place prizes. Yeah. And I want to thank Cafe Positano for putting up another $50 gift card so that Antonio, Dr. K's representative for the Shriners.
But you know what scared me when they introduced me to him and said, Mike, this is Antonio. I said, you mean from Antonio's? I figured, one, he's probably over here spying. Two, he probably can eat every bit of pasta he's ever seen in his life. And this guy, he really ate. I mean, and he was a lot older than The young UCF Dave.
Yep, yep. And we did, we had a raffle drawing afterwards. And by the way, James Hall, the smooth jazz music.
He was great.
He was fantastic.
Absolutely great.
I tell you, as the evening wore on, he was playing in the dining area there, and he put that baffle on his trumpet and started playing that sweet jazz. Man, I thought I was in Casablanca.
Yeah, where'd you find James? Does he play? I mean, he was terrific.
From Dr. Pat Desert.
Right.
I don't know if you met him or not, but he's been on the show in the past and all through AllBreeCon.
Well, James was
through his
good
Christina.
As it gets,
Christina
yeah.
Cooper helps him out with his bookings and things. And so,
problem was last night there were so many people that I couldn't even get my martini. I'm telling you, I'm going. I'm over here. You know what I mean? Place, people are intercepting it as it goes down the bar.
I know it. That place was
jam-packed. It was absolutely packed, and it's just. And it's great, again, to have their support for the show.
Yeah.
And the American Adversary Army continues the build.
And the Army, a number of the members of the Army showed up, Diane and Jim. And we want to thank them. Tim and showed up with his wife. Rick, the latest member of the American Adversary Army, showed up. Mike Bass was there.
Right, Mike was there.
And folks, you're going to hear more from Mike Bass because Mike Bass has joined us as a sponsor of the American Adversaries. We want to thank him very much. He's a financial advisor. And also, and you'll love this, David. He's also a big proponent of the fair tax.
All right.
So we'll be talking more and more about the fair tax as we go into the election next year.
The only fair tax.
That's right. Yeah. So, you know, it was just a lot of fun.
It was certainly a motley crew might be the best definition. It was, it was great. And we're going to have to come up with something later. But I don't know. We'll have to think about when the next event will be.
That's right. You know? We'll put something together.
Yeah, we'll think about it, but they better join that army, you know, to make
that's
sure
right.
they
and
get
by the way,
oh, who won the cruise?
Well, we awarded the cruise to a fella who can't go. So we had drawn two tickets just in case. And so we are presently contacting the second person, and Elisa is her name, and we shall see if she can go. We still have all the other names, and we'll keep going down until somebody
can go. Did
you
reach Alicia yet?
We've sent emails, and we're waiting for
maybe
a response.
She's listening
Elisa,
right now.
Yeah, Elisa, if you're out there, give Nick a call. But you are now entitled to go on that cruise because William decided that he couldn't go. He didn't decide. He just couldn't
that's
go.
That's a shame.
Yeah.
Wow.
But, it was nice of him to say, please.
Oh, yeah. That very,
So we had two tickets just in case of this contingency. And if that doesn't work, then we'll choose another ticket. We saved all the tickets until we get someone who can take advantage of the cruise.
Is it too late to throw one in?
Yes. Well, but it's not too late to get your own ticket to go on the cruise.
That's right.
What a lucky girl, though. I mean, you know, Outer Island, Bahamas, 5 to 8 meals a day. She'll be prepared for the next spaghetti contest if she goes on a cruise because her stomach will be bloated. So that's great. That is really good. That's terrific.
It was. It was a great time, and we want to thank all you folks for listening, and certainly hope you enjoyed it as much, at least as half as much as we did. But it was a great time, and we'll be doing it again. And look at there. We're out of time for this segment. We come back.
Well, I'm hungry. Katzman. I can't wait. Are we just about done?
Abe Katzman will be checking in from Jerusalem. We got some stuff to talk about with David Levitt, some local stuff. Webster versus McCarthy seems to be shaping up as the battle brews in the House for the speakership. And then we may, if we have time, may talk about Hillary. What a gas.
Oh, yeah. I mean, somebody who follows her values to the end.
You got it. Yeah. Hillary and the oil and gas, folks. We'll be right back. We're back, folks. That's right. When we don't know something around here, we go to the experts and we go searching for the truth. And that's why we always love it when Abe Katzman is able to join us, because we don't get the full picture as we do from Abe in the newspapers and in the media around here. So once again, I want to welcome to the show, coming to us live tonight from Jerusalem, Abe Katzman. Hello, Abe.
Hello there. How are you guys doing? All full of spaghetti, I hope.
Oh, yeah. And a few meatballs, too, Abe. And the meatballs, if you love them, oh, they were outstanding.
I tell you what, Abe, you can go to, it's archived, and you, any of you folks can do this as well. It's archived now on YouTube, right, Lucas?
Yeah, basically, you just type in Periscope, and you'll find everything that's been posted on American Adversaries TV.
Type in Periscope, and you'll see all of the things that have been posted. So,
does everybody have their clothes on and stuff? Okay, I just wanted to check.
It was
that the after party, Lucas, or the before party?
That's the main party. After party.
Okay, we got it.
All right, so
that goes on sale.
There you go. First of all, Abe, has the weather begun to break over there? Do you feel autumn in the air?
Yeah, it's actually very pleasant here now. Temperatures in the low 80s, cools down at night. This is actually a very nice week here for other reasons. This is the holiday of Sukkot, the Feast of Tabernacles. It's a week-long festival. This was one of the three festivals on which Jews historically made pilgrimages to Jerusalem. And plenty of Jews still do. The place is crowded. And in fact, there are thousands, I don't know, maybe even tens of thousands of Christian pilgrims that come here, particularly this week for that reason. There's a whole parade here, a Christian parade, very nice coexistence between Jews and Christians. I wish I could say with Muslims also, but they've got some issues. There's still rioting going on among Muslims on the Temple Mount. So,
is that restricting the movement, I would presume it is, of Jews and Christians to and from the Mount?
Well, it's restricting, it is restricting movement entry to the Mount itself. I think I spoke about this before, how there's the wall, there's the Western Wall,
yep,
that and the whole plaza area underneath it, and then the Temple Mount is up above that. So there's restriction of entry into the Temple Mount area itself, and that's where the rioting has been. But the area down below, there's security swarming all over the place, and they're going to make sure that, at least they're going to try to make sure that nothing bad happens.
When so many pilgrims come to Jerusalem like that, how are they accommodated? Are there that many hotel rooms there?
They don't all stay in Jerusalem, but the hotels are packed. In fact, throughout the country, this is probably the biggest tourism week there is.
I see. And I presume because of the troubles, with the Palestinians around that mosque there and on the Mount but also because of that, that the security is at a very heightened degree.
Yeah, it is. Even without the rioting, security would be high, but it is particularly high. They've tried to put restrictions, age restrictions on who can enter the Muslims who can enter the Temple Mount. I think they've tried to restrict it to people, to at least in terms of men, to those 50 and over. But there have been young men who have been camping out there in the mosque. With their rocks and their firebombs, and it hasn't been pretty.
What exactly is their beef again?
You know, it's a very good question. There's always been a certain tension over who owns Jerusalem.
Right.
To a lot of the Muslims, the battle isn't over. Even though even though Israel took over the area in 1967, there is every so often there are these flare-ups of I don't know if resistance is the right word, but some attempt to sort of reassert their own control. This comes along with a denial in terms of speeches that are made. There are all sorts of fiery speeches made denying the Jewish presence in Jerusalem, denying Jewish rights to Jerusalem, denying Jewish history in Jerusalem. You know, it's what in particular set this off. Hard to say. I don't know that anybody knows, but these things do flare up every so often.
Is there...
There's been a good deal of incitement from within the Palestinian Authority and also within, in particular, within the Islamist, even the within the Islamist sectors among Israeli Arabs also.
Is there any speculation that this is that Hamas, Hezbollah, Iran, those type organizations are behind this somehow?
There has been Hamas has been promoting, has been trying to stir the pot, and they have been had been paying people to go up to the Temple Mount, paying their paying Muslims to go up to the Temple Mount and harass any Jewish visitors. It's kind of gone beyond that now, and I think there might be some competition between Hamas and the Palestinian Authority to show who can be who can stand up more for Muslim rights on the Temple Mount.
Oh boy. All right. Okay, Abe, I tell you what, we've got to take a break, but I want you to stay with us. When we come back, I want to talk about the goings-on over here in New York at the UN, in particular the sort of verbal duel, if you will, yesterday between our president and the president of Russia. All right, so we are talking with Abe Katzman. He is coming to us live from Jerusalem, and I hope you folks can check out his website. That's abekatzman.com. That's Katzman with an S, because he writes some very terrific articles, very insightful. And he'll be joining us again when we come back. 407-774-8255 is the number. If only it were that the Palestinians would, you know, settle all their differences in a cafeteria or restaurant eating
exactly
spaghetti.
Right, you know. We
we'll
can
find out who the real
ones.
Men are. All right, stick with
Step
us.
Step up to the plate, you know.
FM 104.
Obamacare.
All right, here we go. We're back, folks. You are listening to the American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time Show. Coming to you live on FM 105.5 and AM 660 The Answer. And we're back in the Mercury Free Broadcasting Studio Complex tonight after a wild night at Cafe Positano. 407-774-8255 is the number. I am Christopher Hart, along with the chairman of the board, Mike McBath, and David Levitt, Refresh Computers. And, of course, he's running for the Florida House. He's in the studio with us today. Lucas Paris has us up on the Periscope. You can go to our channel on YouTube, which is Adversaries TV. Type in Periscope, and there we will be. And you can see what happened last night, too. Nicholas Cicero's on the bridge. And Abe Katzman is coming to us live from Jerusalem tonight. And Abe, the going on, this is the annual meeting at the UN where all the leaders, heads of state come and make their grand speech and everything. And yesterday we had President Obama speaking in the morning. You had Vladimir Putin speaking in the afternoon. And I don't think you could have gotten two more different perspectives on what's going on in Syria than those two. How did it play out in Israel?
Honestly, they haven't paid that much attention to it here. I think that the tendency in Israel regarding President Obama's speeches is that at this point, unless he's speaking directly about Israel or the Palestinians or directly about Iran, they kind of find that there are a lot of words, but that they don't seem to mean that much. That's been Israel's experience with the president's speech making so far. President Putin, on the other hand, I think they listen to a little bit more because the Russians are playing a greater and greater role in this region, and I think that Israel is going to have to deal with that.
No. This is Mike McBath. A question on this Russia-Syrian situation. Don't you think, though, that Russia also could be just like the rest of the countries in the Middle East, just get bogged down in there, spend lots of money, and get not very much accomplished? I mean, I just wonder, where are they going?
That's a very good question, and that's actually quite possible. I know that there are those who think that Russia is making a huge mistake by getting into the fray in Syria. This is something that Russia cannot really afford. They've got their own economic problems. They're dependent on the price of oil, which has been very low lately and doesn't show any signs of coming back all that strong. It this could be problematic for them. And but at the same time, they are, you know, kind of reasserting their a greater world role than they've had for some time. I don't know what they're going to get monetarily out of their position in Syria, but it does help them to have this alliance with Iran and Syria, and now Iraq is part of the Axis.
Right. And I can see that happening, but I can also see, at least while Barack Obama is still president, Vladimir Putin outsmarting him and having us do a lot of the dirty work and maybe us be the ones, you know, who don't get anything out of it. And at the end of the day, he does, because he goes in, he stakes out the territory for old Bashar Assad, and then it's going to be up to us to do something about ISIS or something like that. And Barack Obama and his grand coalition that he keeps talking about. So I see what you're talking about. It could be another Afghanistan.
Yeah, I just wonder if they just get bogged down. And then as we pointed out, the price of energy worldwide has absolutely crashed. And this has to be a major, you know, knock in the pocket of Russia. And here they are building bases in Alaska, building here, building the military. You know, their people aren't going to be the happiest people in the world. You know, they're not going to be eating well if this just continues on, this military move.
Abe?
Yeah, I think there's a lot to that. I mean, one thing they are doing is selling an awful lot of weaponry in the region.
That's true.
So I don't know that it makes up for the expense of trying to, you know, put up a new base in Syria or, you know, provide. But they've been, I mean, they're providing tanks to Hezbollah. They're sending all kinds of aircraft and weaponry into Syria. They've got agreements to sell weapons to Iran. They may see this as being a long-term investment.
Yeah, indeed, I think you're right about that. And Putin is definitely, you know, aware of the domestic situation, and I think that's part of his motivation is to do these foreign incursions, if you will. And as long as he can get away with blaming the state of the economy on us or other players, he can get away with that. But sooner or later, you're right that the fiddler will have to be paid. His due will come up. But Abe, the Prime Minister Netanyahu, is he going to speak in front of the UN this session?
Yeah, he's scheduled, I believe, for Thursday. Not certain about that, but I think so. People are not, sitting on pins and needles the way they were the last couple of years in terms of what he was going to do and what he was going to say, because previously there was so much suspense over what was going to happen with Iran and what he was, you know, what sort of speech he was going to bring into the argument. And now the Iran deal is essentially over. He's probably still going to speak about it. He's probably going to he'll speak about how the world needs to deal with the aftermath of the nuclear deal. But I think he's also probably going to focus again on things dealing with Israel itself, Israel's rights in its own country, and the situation with the Palestinians. I think that's probably where his focus will be. I have no inside information, but I assume that's where he's going to go.
You don't anticipate him issuing what some may characterize as a threat to Iran or something like that?
I don't think that would be the forum where he would do it. Maybe he'll surprise us, but I don't think he'd do it that way. I don't think that he's necessarily one to issue threats of the type that anything overt. I think that when everybody understands what Israel's position is regarding Iran, and if the time comes to act, I think they'll act without making a big presentation about it beforehand.
I just wonder too, Abe, do you think that technology of Israel's military is actually good enough to knock Iran totally out?
I don't think anybody knows. I'm not even sure that Israel knows, because a lot has to do with, we don't know exactly what we're dealing with in terms of what Iran has, how well protected it is, how spread out it is. I really don't know.
Plus the fact that as this money pours in, you're going to have less and less of a feel because they're going to be buying more and more. And what's, you know, North Korea be doing for them? What's Russia doing? Oh, boy, this is going to become a mess. And you can thank our president, you know, Mr. Know-Nothing.
Yep.
You know, just disgusting.
What one last question for you, Abe. Bashar al-Assad, I like to call him Bash. Old Bash made a speech, I guess, last week in which he blamed essentially the West and the United States in particular for the mass outflow of migrants. Was there an element of truth in what he said?
I part of your question got cut off.
He blamed the West in general, and I believe the United States in particular, for the mass migration of people out of his country into Europe, saying it was all our fault. You know, we sort of got what we deserved. And in a sense, because of Obama's policies, isn't there a degree of truth in that?
Well, there's an element of truth, I suppose. But it's really the kind of nervy for him to be making a statement blaming somebody else for, you know, for the refugee situation.
Right.
I mean, he is half of Syria's population is either dead or fled, and it's not getting any better. I think that I think the U.S. and the West missed an opportunity to set up some kind of safe zones in Syria and avoid this huge emigration into Europe. And even, you know, there's going to be some presence in the United States also. There's really no reason for that. If the U.S. had wanted to, they could have set up areas where the people would not have been in any particular danger. The Syrians in those areas would not have been in any danger.
Right.
But the U.S. hasn't gone in that direction.
All right, Abe, we're going to have to wrap it up with you there tonight. We'll let you get back to the Feast of the Tabernacle, the Sukkot celebration, right?
That's right.
All right, well, certainly enjoy yourself and have a safe one, and we'll once again be praying for you and Israel, and we'll talk to you next Monday.
Excellent. Very much appreciated. Thanks.
Thanks for your time.
Thank you, sir, and thank you for your time and your wisdom. And once again, folks, you can visit Abe Katzman at his website, abekatzman.com. That's Katzman with an S. We'll go ahead and take a break. When we come back, we'll have more of the American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time Show. 407-774-8255 is the number. We still got a lot to talk about, so please don't go away. All right, welcome back to the show, folks. That's right, you got the American Adversaries, and we're back in the Mercury Free Broadcasting Studio Complex. All right, we want to get into some other business right now. It's amazing how the tune of a lot of people has changed, or should I say the word tone, their tone towards Donald Trump has changed since yesterday, and he introduced his tax package. And I think I said on the show last night that this was a bona fide or a realistic. I don't forget the word I used last night. I forgot a lot about what happened last night. Oh man, did I say that?
Chris, you were singing up front. You ripped your shirt off.
Was that me dancing on the bar?
Everybody was screaming, put it back on. You remember that.
But that it was a little... As the Washington types, the inside the Beltway types might call it, a legitimate tax plan. Mm-hmm. And as I said, it sort of resembled Jeb's, but it went further than Jeb's in several ways. But one thing that really attracted me most about it, and there was a couple things I didn't like about it, but the one thing that attracted me most about it was the cut in the corporate income tax rate. And because we've talked about this on the show numerous times. That's one of the great things about the fair tax, David, mm-hmm. right?
Right?
Is that it eliminates the corporate tax.
Because
why? Because corporations don't pay taxes.
Shouldn't pay taxes.
Well, they just collect taxes.
They collect.
What I'm saying
is, collect and remit.
Right. Any business, if you think that the business pays a tax, I don't care if it's a corporation or a mom and pop, they don't pay any taxes. It's their customers who pay the taxes because it's built into the price of their product or service, or they're not going to be in business very long. It's just business economics. And so to eliminate the corporate tax doesn't, you know, do anything good for the corporation because they're not paying it to begin with. All it does is free up capital, and in particular, capital that's overseas.
Right. I mean, we're talking about, you look at, what is it, 35% is our corporate tax rate. And
presently. He wants to drop it to 15, which, by the way, when we've talked about this before, I said, I want to eliminate it. And you have chimed in and said, well, they probably can't do that now, but a nice cut to about 15% would be just about right.
Right. And what they're going to do, which I think this is a pretty good idea, because this involves $2.1 trillion, not billion, not million, trillion. Now, imagine when Trump said, I will generate jobs. Well, you know what? He's right. If we get that $2.1 trillion back here
from overseas,
you're right, they will pay a 10% penalty. And from my understanding, that will be staged in, too. It's not like I just give you 10% right now. Secondly, then they'll pay 15% tax each year. But the point behind it is you're going to be able to generate a substantial amount of business. What happens is your GDP goes up. That means there's a much bigger tax base. If there's a bigger tax base, then that means we're going to have a lot more money to spread out in education and all the different areas we want to go. We can reduce our deficit, and it all can be done through, this is an awful, awful good way to approach it. And I know Carl Icahn was the one today, and I'm not a total fan of his since I've been in an investment business, but the point behind it is he even said, you know what, this is a great idea, because why are we leaving $2.1 trillion over there? And the reason is they don't want to come here because our tax rates are too high.
Right.
Let's bring the money home. Let's put it to work. Let's get our jobs moving, and let's get this national defense and our military build up.
And it's real easy to figure out why that works. Why getting that those $2 trillion back here? When a company reinvests the money into their own company, which is what they're going to do with it, because they're not going to sit on it. You
of course
know?
Not.
When they reinvest the money in their own company, they are growing their company. And what happens when they grow their company? They hire people.
Right.
It just makes sense.
I think, Dave, for you, like, because I know what you're a tax advocate, certainly. What the great thing, again, is about Trump. He's bringing this to the forefront because this is too much money sitting abroad.
Way too
that
much.
That needs to be here to generate the jobs, and we got to get this into a major discussion, which we have not had.
A lot of that money's being used abroad. To make money over there.
Create
to employ
jobs
people over there.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's what's
and
happening.
And not only would that money, which is with U.S. domestic corporate, with international corporations based in the United States, would it come back, but then you would also attract investment dollars back into the United States.
Instead of the money leaving,
it would
come
back
in. Now it comes home.
Exactly.
And if our military is superior, and if our country is prosperous, guess where all the people are going to want to go? I think I want my corporation in the United States.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. And see, the administration's solution to, and by the way, the number of corporations leaving the United States because of the
horrendous
tax situation has
horrendous
gone up over this year. And that's in spite of the new rules from the Treasury trying to block what they call inversions. Inversions are when a corporation either buys or sells itself to a foreign corporation in order to relocate in that country to pay a lower tax rate. And guess who's real good at figuring out how to do that? The guy who wanted to pay higher taxes, what was his name? Warren something?
Oh, yeah, Warren.
You remember that Burger King deal?
Yeah.
The Burger King deal?
Yeah, the oil man.
Right.
The train man.
Right. So this is I think this is smart politically for Trump, too.
Because I do, too. I think it's a great move because he'll be able to explain this in simplistic terms to the average American, too.
And, as I said, it's causing people out there who are writing him off and characterizing him as a clown and a joke. It's a little bit harder now because this is a legitimate tax plan. And so he has, I was kind of disappointed he'd come out, you know, solidly for the fair tax or something like that. But this is actually
it's a step in the right direction.
It is. Right.
It is.
And it's also, it shows that he's politically astute. That these career politicians who supposedly know how to play the game the best have just been shown by Moby Dick that he can do it as well.
And how do you pander to the low-income voter?
You give them a tax break.
Tell them they don't have to pay income tax.
Yeah. That's the end of it I don't like. If that's what it takes to get that corporate rate jacked down, the benefits from that would, I believe, outweigh
I think so, because he's actually attracting two different areas of his voters, right?
Voting
of the people
blocks.
That would vote. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So you got the low income mm-hmm. folks, and mm-hmm. then you have the corporations. Two very yeah. powerful groups
and as
of
I said,
people. So
this is other than the
he's not an idiot.
No, he's not, and he's proved that with this plan. Other than the lowering that corporate tax rate, this plan could have come from Ronald Reagan or George W. Bush.
Right. The thing I like too is again the follow up by Icahn. Mm-hmm. I don't know if this was set in stone before he announced it. But
right.
the point is, here's a guy endorsing it. Here's and again, the American public isn't, I don't know if they like discussing taxes. So you got to keep mm-hmm. it so
yeah.
simple. And this is right. pretty simple.
Pretty basic.
And will this be the full plan? All of us probably believe, you know, if he's elected, it won't be perfectly like this, you know, because you got to get through all the bumps.
But he knows he knows the areas to push.
Right.
He
That's
wanted
the
to
point.
Eliminate. Okay. He wants to, as a part of this, eliminate that carried interest thing.
That's which is the point, the, which I'm 100% against
death
that.
Tax, see,
the,
gone.
This is, death
said,
tax will generate a heck of a lot of jobs because there's
exactly
more capital
right.
and people
yeah.
don't have mm-hmm. to destroy their
right.
businesses.
See, yep. the sort of the political genius in this plan, there's no one part of it that couldn't be sold to the public and to Congress. And it could mm-hmm. really put the Democrats on the spot. Because, hey, as you said, it has, if you want to call it a giveaway, giveaways to the
I
lower.
I call it a free ride.
Yeah, well, yeah. but if that's, once again, that's what made, that's the sort of the political genius in the thing.
I know,
that's
he does
what makes
put the
it
Democrats,
workable.
What are they going to do?
That's what makes
exactly.
it workable.
Yeah,
exactly.
They keep
what
the IRS, which, you know, we don't want, but,
yeah.
you know.
And by the way, last night at the Spaghetti Eating Challenge, I guess we sort of had our own little informal poll. We didn't even know it was happening, but it was happening right in front of our very eyes. Because Scott Miller of My Liberty Threads mm-hmm. brought in some bumper stickers that he has. And by the way, folks, if you want to get these, go to MyLibertyThreads.com. And he didn't bring them in for all the Republican contestants. He brought them in for, I think, five. He brought them in for Trump, Carson, Cruz, Rubio, and Rand Paul. And they went out in this order. Trump, Carson, Cruz. And at the end of the night, they were all gone.
Oh, wow.
And almost all of the Rand Paul and the Marco Rubios were still there. And so we
You know what?
We had our own sort of informal little poll.
I'm a bumper sticker guy, and I agree with you because I didn't pick up a couple of them, and yet I like the Trump, and
yeah.
I like
mm-hmm. Yeah, they were cool looking stickers too, by the way.
The Rand Paul, though, we could put it somewhere. I don't know. It might be in my posterior or something like that.
I was gonna say, in the men's room somewhere.
Yeah, we could find a place for it.
You know, so we'll be keeping up with. By the way, Trump's going to be on O'Reilly. The O'Reilly factor tonight. And
well,
so
they
that,
made up now. Everybody's
well, and
goody-goody.
O'Reilly was on Gallagher this morning, Mike Gallagher right. show. He's got a new book out, Killing Reagan, which sounds very interesting. And I must say that Gallagher did a far better interview than some guys on a different channel yesterday. But Gallagher, and during the interview, they were talking about Trump. I didn't know this, but Trump and O'Reilly have been friends for 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
They go to baseball and mm-hmm. basketball games together, and
right.
they have quite a friendly relationship. And so he was saying it's going to be kind of tough tonight because I've got to be the O'Reilly that I'm always with everyone else. So that's mm-hmm. That's what we're going to get tonight. If you want to tune in for that, we shall check it out. But, you know, David Levitt's been doing a lot of great things, saving tax dollars here locally, you know. So, David, you actually the Seminole County commissioners credit you with saving the county some money that they didn't want to save the county themselves.
At least one of them openly, yeah. But I think
Us what happened.
Well, there's a special taxing district called the it's the CRA, and basically they tax businesses along the 1792 corridor where they say that it's a blighted area. And it's the same tax that they tax all the other businesses, except they take a portion of that tax, put in a special piggy bank, so they can turn around and do something in that corridor with that piggy bank money now. And what they typically have been doing, you heard us talk about it on the show, would be giving it to corporations like Bilray Nissan, got $1.7 million. And so
this was to beautify the front
of the front, yeah. And then, I mean, this is cold, hard cash. I mean, this isn't, you know, like a loan or something. This is just grant money. It's the tax money that, and so instead of.
And it's not a tax break. This is cash money.
Cash money.
Given by the county.
Not to be given back.
Right.
Not to be given back. And granted, it's a special little taxing district right there on the 1792 corridor, but still, it's not fair to all the businesses on the corridor.
If it all goes to Bill Ray.
Exactly. Yeah. So, you know.
Ain't hurting, by the way.
Right. So, yeah, I've been fighting this and fighting this, and this is where it really helps. Eventually, your voice gets heard, you know, because when I first started talking about it publicly, I looked like I had three eyeballs or something is what they how they looked at me. But now I'm getting, you know, sort of this recognition and this feedback that, hey, you know what, he's right. We shouldn't be giving this to these companies. So they acknowledged in their meeting a week ago Tuesday that they are no longer going to be giving this CRA money to any company in the corridor. They're going to use it for other things that they're allowed to use it for, which is the taxpayer-owned things.
Like sidewalks, streetlights,
trees,
yeah,
beautification.
Sure. Exactly. Attract businesses and make the place look better that way. You know,
folks, if he can do that in Seminole County, he can do that in Tallahassee. Dave4house.com. That's the number four, Dave4house.com.
You want these people fighting for you, and that's great, Dave. I mean, you really, what a tribute to you to do that, and the time you spent with no pay, no rewards, anything.
No recognition.
Well, thank you. Yeah, right. And it's I'll continue doing it.
All right, we'll continue to bring you the show right after this
short
break.
I'll continue eating spaghetti, Dave.
Conservative FM 105.5 AM 660. The Answer. WORL. Altamont Springs. Orlando. A service.
Ladies and gentlemen, sit up right up. Let's go see the elephant. When I'm a road.
Welcome back to the show, folks. That's right. You got the American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time Show coming to you once again tonight from the Mercury Free Broadcasting Studio Complex. Please don't forget, for the very best in mercury free dental care, call my dentist, Dr. James E. Hardy, at 407-678-3399. I am Christopher Hart. In the studio with me tonight is Mike McBath, along with David Levitt, both fresh off the spaghetti eating challenge last night. Two judges. Mike, you did a great job doing the play-by-play.
Well, we had a lot of fun, but as you know, Chris and Dave knows, there were some major upsets in this. You know,
boy.
The guy that I would figure would be the front runner was Big Reggie Branch, 265, 6'1".
Super Bowl champion.
Yeah, this guy calls me up 12 in the afternoon before the big event at 6:30, because we knew that was kickoff time, right?
Yep.
Calls me up. I said, what are you doing, Reggie? He goes, you know, I'm lifting weights. I'm doing cardio. I said, man, you're my idol. You're going in there to really clean this place out. And it's a case that, you know, he gets there, right? And I'm assuming Reggie's going to win this thing. This is going to be no problem at all. Well, he sits down. You know, Chris, you're out there. You set the rules. Whistle blows. And Reggie's off. But I noticed he was stumbling on the first plate, right? And then this little girl, Wendy, sitting right beside him. And she's keeping pace with him.
Yes,
and I'm thinking, did I bet on this loser? And then what happens? We have a whole table. I think it was 9 or 10, right? And
nine
then,
at the end of it.
Right.
I think, yeah.
And then what happens? We had UCF Dave. I mean, this young man.
Tore it up.
Chris.
Tore it up.
I know. And he ended up with 7 plates. Yeah. Reggie bows out, I think, 2.5, 3 plates.
Yeah.
Wendy comes in, 2 plates. I think Rachel. She's very good radio commentator, but she has to work on her eating. She brought
it was the utensil.
I know, her fork,
which
was,
wasn't much bigger than a toothpick.
I think she had three noodles total.
Right, I was going to say, I think she stranded 3 noodles. But what concerned me is when
her heart. She looked good doing it, though.
She did.
I just thought when she ordered a bottle of wine, that wasn't really part of the contest, you know. And then what I really liked was Chris's friend. He moves in.
Chris Kassler.
Yeah, he moves in at the end of the table, and Chris didn't tell me he was in the contest. And I'm looking. I'm thinking, I think this this guy just stopped by and said, man, this is great. You know, there's free food, all you can eat. But as the contest continued, the emotions went higher and higher. The enthusiasm was at a peak. And UCF Dave, I mean, you got to admit, he was strong. And then,
he tore it up.
You know, or Dave Ogletree, who came in second.
Wounded Officers Initiative.
Yeah, Wounded. I mean, he did a great job. And I was always leery of him. You know, I thought maybe he could take Reggie out.
I thought he might have.
He was the quickest out of the gate, I think.
But after observing the contest, now I believe Rachel could take Reggie out. You know what I mean? But it was a great event, and everybody there was, you know, certainly part of the American Adversaries, part of the enthusiasm for the channel. The sponsors were there. David was out there
David was there, and of course he provided the $200 gift certificate as part of the winning package.
And I loved being the judge. It was a lot of fun.
He was one of the judges, right.
David, we were looking under the table. We were
making sure
anybody throwing stuff in the shirts.
I was really concerned there for a little while. I didn't bring this up last night, but there could have been two. You know, you never know when there's people like
big money on the line.
A team working together, right?
Exactly,
so they could split it.
Let's slip a little plate here, But a compliment.
None of that happened.
Nope. It was all up and up. A compliment, Cafe Positano, for keeping the spaghetti coming. And nobody
they were
had
very
to wait.
Timely.
Not at all.
I was amazed because we said 6:30, and at 6:30 the race began. And the spaghetti was set fire. The meatballs were out, everybody rolled. But I'm afraid we don't have anybody who's going to win Nathan's. You know, I was hoping we could maybe get somebody promoted into the big one.
But it was a whole lot of fun.
There'll be other contests coming up, I think.
Well, Grant was out there playing his banjo.
I was going to say, Grant Malloy playing that banjo behind
that was
the
great.
Contestants while they were eating was perfect.
It really was.
I got inspired. I felt like grabbing some spaghetti.
I couldn't stand still. I was having a great time. And James Hall, folks, if you like jazz music, James Hall on his trumpet. I tell you, you can't find better than James Hall. And I noticed a lot of people were going over to him and complimenting him during the night. And no wonder. It was just great music. And I tell you, it was just the whole night was a whole lot of fun. And want to thank everyone who came out. Too many to name. But we'll do it again. We're working now. We're working on next competition.
We know what the public wants.
We know what
you
want.
And I've never seen such an emotional high there. And hell, they turned on some. I mean, I still have to laugh about Reggie. He looked like an absolute lock, right? And boy, did he fade quick.
Well, you know, he didn't have the technique. He didn't have the technique. He was having trouble getting scooping and eating the spaghetti and sink. He had the technique down. But I tell you, the Pred Nation. Last night, they really
Yeah, Mike Toole.
Made it cool, great. Too.
We forgot Mike Toole. I think he came in third at the end.
Yeah, he came in
third. The Pred Nation.
Yeah. Right.
And the Pred Nation had two entries, and they said next time they want three. But Mike Toole.
Yeah, we'll do that.
Yeah, he did a great job. So, he wants us to call him O'Toole during St. Pat's week. So Mike O'Toole when the beer's open. And I told him we're not having a beer contest. Sorry, Mike.
All right, we got someone on the line who was there last night, and that would be our friend Tim. Tim, thank you for calling. Thanks for coming out last night.
It was terrific. And I was so impressed with those Pred heads with their get-ups and their outfits and stuff.
They had a banner and everything,
Full gear.
But you know what, Tim? They actually outperformed the dog pound. They have actual national competition for the best groups and everything. And you saw those masks that they have. You know, they were designed off of the Preds, but they designed it for you, like a UCF Pred head, Florida State, everything. They put a lot of money and time into this stuff.
Like flashing eyeballs with lights.
I mean, really unique.
Richard makes those.
Richard Grabe. Yep.
Yeah, he makes those. And as I said last night on the show, they make them for charitable causes and children and things. And I tell you, they are top quality, top-notch stuff.
But it was a great event. We enjoyed ourselves. Rachel was hilarious with her fork.
Oh, I know.
If that's what you can call it.
And, The music was great, and there's only 46 days before the cruise.
That's right. That's right. So, and, Tim, unfortunately, we didn't pull your name out of the hat. But
I'm still in the running.
Until we get someone who says that they'll take
advantage
of it.
Chris, he's holding you to that.
The first fella couldn't go, and we're trying to contact the next person.
Right.
And if she can't go, we'll draw another name. So
that's it.
All right.
That's
so
it.
Until we get someone who says they can go.
But I want you to know that we truly enjoyed it. It was a very nice night.
Well, I want to thank you, and you brought your wife. It's Mary, right?
Mary Ann, yeah.
Yeah, Mary Ann. You brought your wife Mary Ann with you, and I want to thank you for that. And it was.
I have to.
It was
she has to drive.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, yeah. You're still hobbling a little bit. So,
right.
All right. Well, take care of yourself, and we'll definitely be seeing you at least in 46 days, if not before.
Yep. You bet. Talk to you later.
All right. Thanks.
All right. So it was a whole lot of fun, and we will do it again. I guarantee you that.
David, now, would you ever consider entering this company?
No, not for
I'm serious. You wouldn't?
No.
Because you still have some prime left in your life. You know what I mean? You're not an elderly man.
And he wants to hang on to it.
I considered inviting my son up from Sarasota.
How old is he?
He's 34.
And
he's. I've actually seen him at two different eating contest.
He's a veteran.
One was actually at a Jacksonville football game.
Is that right?
At Jaguar, they had the big experience out there, and they had this hamburger eating contest. And there was probably about 20 people out there.
Yeah.
And he whooped them down. There was not even close.
Yeah.
I mean, and he's like a 180-pound guy. He's 6'4", 180 pounds.
Oh, this is a beast. Well, that could have been big notoriety for you, Dave.
I think it could have been.
You know, he could have wore your political message on his shirt, been rolling it down there, and been announced the winner.
That's right.
I was down there a few months ago with seeing my grandkids, his children, and we went out to get some ice cream. Right, so I went in the ice cream store and local, right near their house. I look up on the wall. There's a picture of Eric, my son, right on the wall. Won the ice cream eating contest.
Oh, well, you know what, Dave?
That's cute.
If he won the ice cream winning contest, this guy could be big. I mean, it's worth a night. We could maybe put him up in the hotel or something. Chris.
You know what? If you have another one of these, I'm going to make sure he's here for it.
Well, we're going to have another.
Yeah, you count on that. So tell him to start practicing again.
That's right. And by the way, folks, you can give us a call too at 407-774-8255. Nick LoCicero is on the Battle Bridge, and Lucas Perry has the Periscope up and running. You can go to Adversaries TV on YouTube, type in Periscope, and not only can you see what we're up to tonight, but you can see what we were up to last night. And Lucas did a great job moving through the room. And you were doing some commentary too, weren't you?
Well, I had to do it for the internet feed. I mean,
that's right. Yeah, because he was wandering the room.
Lucas got into it, man. This guy was looking at him, and he was trying to get a little sauce thrown at him.
What about you?
I wanted to eat.
Over the din of all the noise, I hear McBath over there as he's calling it over the radio. I can't believe this. There's a major upset in the making here.
Many people predicted this wrong. We could never achieve what this guy is doing in the back.
But it was a whole lot of fun. So once again, I want to thank you folks for coming out and joining us. And we had the whole 2 hours on the show last night because the Rays were off. They are playing tonight, so at 6:30 we'll go to the Rays pregame show. You can still listen to us, though, on AM660TheAnswer.com. You can watch us on Periscope, via Periscope on YouTube. And, of course, if you have downloaded the app into your phone or your smart device, you can listen that way as well. That's sort of the bad news. That's going to happen the rest of this week, including Sunday. We're going to get clipped on Sunday. But now on Sundays, you can also listen to us on 1520 WBZW, with simulcast up there where the Rays aren't on that station, but that's the bad news. The good news is the season is over Sunday. Bad news for the Rays, they're not going to the post game, but good news for us, we will no longer, at least not until next season, if they pick the game up again, the ball games up again for the station. In other words, we'll be going a long time without having to worry about having our show clipped off by the Rays pregame show. So that will happen tonight, the rest of this week, but no longer after that, at least not until next baseball season. Stick with us, we'll be back with more.
I'm not what I appear to be.
It's our ode to old Hillary. That's right. You know, she was at a fundraiser the other day?
Hedge
fund managers.
Does this make you sick? Here's a woman who voted or says she will not approve the XL pipeline, right? And here's a woman totally against fossil fuel. You know, she's a greenie.
Right.
Okay? Well, she was over at a major fundraiser for, of course, her. And the idea, it was put on by, a hedge funds manager. I thought she was against hedge funds, too. Oh, and
except
he invested,
their son-in-law's.
Of course. And, he invested a lot into oil and gas. And guess what? She walked away with tons of money. And I guess that would be against your principle, wouldn't it, if you were a person of principle?
That's a big if.
That's right. Well,
case.
We know she's not a person of principle.
Right.
She's a person of principle in her bank. That's the only principle she's looking for.
You spell
but
her principle
it really does make you sick. I mean, you know, what a disgusting hypocrite. You know, I mean, here she is, 40 plus thousand jobs. But I know I saw this the other day. She was endorsed by six unions, but they honestly came out after she said this pipeline deal.
Yeah.
They said, you know what? Our endorsement's on hold.
They pulled it, yeah.
And you're not kidding. It would be permanently on hold unless we get those jobs, baby. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's just unbelievable. The public just can't see this. And all these media people who were so sharp, wouldn't you question the person doing a fundraiser with the oil and gas industry?
Yeah, you would think.
You think they have any influence?
But it's like Al Gore, you know, the Gore family fortune.
Oh, yeah, he was great. Yep.
Well, the Gore family fortune is petroleum and tobacco.
Right.
Tobacco.
Right.
And but that's why we have the opportunity this next election season to put in some people who do have some real principles. And by the way, the contest going on in the House of Representatives to choose the new speaker is between a man of great principle and an establishment insider. Dan Webster is the man of principle. Do you know Dan, David?
I do not know Dan. I know of Dan, of course.
Okay, but you're not in his district.
No,
you're in a different district. But I think I am, anyway, in Dan Webster's district. I was for a while, and I wasn't. I don't know what it's going to be now. None of us really know. But we do know this. Dan Webster is a man of great principle. He is the guy, that's right, folks, who gives money back to the government that he doesn't spend, the type of thing that David Levitt would do.
Absolutely.
And he doesn't feel the need to spend all the money he has allocated to run his office. He runs his office efficiently.
Isn't that great?
And he gives
it's
back
nice to know there's a couple people left.
That's
the way
right.
It should be done.
That's right.
Right.
And the mainstream media, that is totally ignoring him. Kevin McCarthy was all over NBC this morning, probably the other talking shows, too.
Yeah.
I mean, all over NBC. NBC, MSNBC, and CNBC. All Kevin McCarthy. What are you going to do as speaker as though he's already the speaker? Right?
No, he's California dreaming, though, right?
Yeah, he's California. Yeah.
That's why I wonder if they're tainted also, you know, because there's such liberalism out there, even though he's elected on the other side. I just wonder.
Yeah.
Too much association.
No, this whole thing with Boehner was a orchestrated. It's being reported as though the conservatives and the House caucus, you know, were pulling this off and they were going to force him out. I think there's a degree of truth in that. But I think more of what has happened here is that the establishment has decided to make John Boehner and perhaps next Mitch McConnell scapegoats, if you will. And they will be that, and they've certainly done the establishment's bidding, and that's why we go after them. But it is the establishment's bidding that they've been doing. That's why we don't like them.
Right.
And the establishment is doing away with them, trying to pull the wool over our eyes like Kevin McCarthy is a big, huge change from John Boehner.
I don't see a change.
None.
I'm sorry.
At all. None at all. And so we shouldn't buy into that. We've put in a request to have Dan Webster on the show. They're working with us on that, trying to get him on the show this week. And and if we get the okay, I promise you we will make time for him on the show. Also, in the meantime, to help him, you can do a couple of things. You can call your congressman, no matter who it is, whether it's Grayson, Micah, Posey, you name it. Call him and say, listen, I want Dan Webster as the next Speaker of the House. And you can also do what Don recommended on our show, a caller called in the other day. Call your friends and family around the nation if they don't live here in Central Florida, even if they do live in Central Florida, and ask them to do the same. And perhaps we can build some support for the congressman in that fashion, because obviously it will be an uphill battle for him, but it is not impossible. And we should always take this in mind, too. And this dawned on me the other day, and I've been wanting to bring it up in regard to the Planned Parenthood thing. Because, you know, they had the hearings today on Planned Parenthood and the debate over should we shut the government down over Planned Parenthood. Mm-hmm. And the argument that why we should not do that coming from John Boehner, coming from Mitch McConnell, coming from Michael Medved and others is that don't do it because there's no way you can win that fight. You will lose the fight. And then what good have you done? And, Mike, did you ever play any football? I'll ask this of you, too, David Levin, because you played football.
Sure.
Did you guys ever play in a football game that everybody thought you were going to lose the game, and yet you went out there on the field and won? Did you ever do that in your playing
any
career?
Any given Sunday, buddy.
That's
watch
right.
those movies. You know what I mean?
And if you stand up for the right thing and God is with you, miracles will happen.
Well, the other thing is 900 babies a day.
That's it.
Do you think that might have any meaning to someone who is, no matter what your religion is,
that's
900
right.
babies a day, and then like today they had that group, the Coal Fire Forensic. They did an analysis.
And
they were pointing out, that the tapes were absolutely
authentic.
And there wasn't a thing wrong with it. And then they pointed out, you know, the young lady who runs it. She makes, not that I care about this, but she makes like $520,000 a year, and most of her. The ones that surround her closely make substantial money in that neighborhood, and they all spend millions on travels and parties. What a great time to party about eliminating 900 people a day. I mean, what a sicko group.
Yeah,
you know?
These hearings
no conscious.
I mean, this is unbelievable. I can't understand why people wouldn't, you know, be so much after this. And then the liberals, how do you support something like that?
You shouldn't be. But you should be supporting guys like David Levitt.
Yeah, you're
who's
not
running
kidding.
For
Thank
Florida you. House. And David, you've got a fundraising kickoff coming up.
October 22nd. Now, it's from 6 to 9, but you can show up at 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, and still get a plate dinner. Okay. Isabel's cooking, my wife. If people that know her food know it's worth coming just for that. You know, forget Dave, forget me. Just come for the food.
You're gonna have an eating contest?
Possibly, if there's enough for seconds. Yeah, I think people will be eating pretty quick, so they can get another plate. But you know, there's gonna be salmon and beef. She's cooking,
and it's gonna be at the Longwood Community Building,
which
is right downtown Longwood. There, October the 22nd. You can go to Dave4House.com. Dave, the number 4House.com. Mm-hmm. You got details there.
Yeah,
he's gonna have a raffle off a television.
How is that? 80-inch?
80-inch TV.
Wow, Chris. We'll never need to go to the movies.
I donated to my own campaign.
It's a Sharp.
It's a Sharp.
Nice TV. And David's doing great things in our community, even without being elected in an office.
No, he deserves to be elected because of what he's done. I mean, that's how I rate somebody.
The man goes to all the meetings in Seminole County, and I mean all the meetings in Seminole County, and he gets results.
I do, and, you know, I believe that you can go and make a difference. One person can, so, you know,
I don't care if he doesn't like spaghetti.
And if he can save Seminole County money, he can save the state of Florida money.
Dave4House.com.
All right, when we come back, we'll pick it up on the other side. We still got a lot to talk about, and of course, you can join us. Did you hear about the return of the Looney Tunes? And I'm not talking about the cartoons.
Oh, okay. Politicians, maybe?
The Muppets.
It's worse than that.
It's worse than that. Okay.
All right, stick around, folks. We'll be back. All right, and away we go with the last half hour of the show. Once again, I want to thank you folks for being with us. And we are here. We are live in the Mercury Free Broadcasting Studio Complex. Call us at 407-774-8255. That's the number, 407-774-8255. And the Hillary emails. It appears as though the FBI is retrieving more than we were led to believe by the Clinton people, by the way, of what there was retrievable. And it now appears as though not just were they deleting personal emails, they also deleted some of the State Department emails. As they retrieve these emails, obviously they're going to find out who these emails were sent to and from, right?
Correct.
And can they go to them now? And
If they had a warrant, if they did it the right way, they could go to those servers and pull up information, sure.
And see if there's other stuff with the Clintons involved there.
Could be. But I can tell you now, they're not that stupid. I don't believe that stupid.
The Clintons?
I mean, Hillary's people. Yeah. I happen to believe that they're finding what they wanted them to find. So, come on. This is 2015. If they didn't get that server within the first, few minutes of figuring out something was wrong, you don't know all bets are off as far as I'm concerned. Whatever they come up with, you don't know if it was cooked. You don't know if it was deleted, re-put back on. They only inserted the ones they wanted them to find.
But you think that anything the FBI does find, the Clintons were okay with them finding or actually wanted them to find?
Either or both.
And, well, this would play in with, Bill Clinton coming out and Hillary herself.
We were talking about it, right, Chris?
The part of the vast right-wing cabal.
I mean, I happen to believe that at the utmost highest possibility, that's what it is.
Well, like I said, it would make political sense. You sort of set up the other side. They think there's a big scandal there, and at the end of the day, there's really nothing there.
Well, as Bill was on today, and I mean, I love that how he's describing, again, the right wing, how all they do
conspiracy,
is drip, drip, drip. I'm thinking all Hillary does is lie, lie, lie. But I mean, I love how he explained it. He just extended the wording out, drip, and they're going to just try to destroy her. But we all know this didn't happen.
And she's going to come out like a princess at the end of it because, all those crazy conservatives, look at them,
Right, right.
Yeah.
Well, there certainly is the danger of that, and they're not political novices.
But don't you think, though, they're getting her act so much? I mean, how could you just convert it right back and go, okay, she's not a liar, she's not this. She's a thief. I mean, come on. The lady's a thief, I mean, look at what happens in a foundation. Most foundations should pay out about 80 to 90% of what they raise.
Right.
Look at how much money is. They were talking about, I think it was like 10 to 12% or something they gave out, even if it was 30%. Not good enough. And I mean, look at all the, how come she has all these servers everywhere? Come on. This was planted. They know that they were working on their foundation while they were doing State Department work. This is BS. This whole thing is. If the public can't read that, God help them.
David, one thing I wanted to ask you is, obviously they could have put all of this information, I take it, on discs.
Sure, whatever they wanted.
Yeah. So somewhere there could be all of the complete library of information that they are holding on to.
Somewhere, but why would they want to do that? Well, why did Nixon want to hold on to his tapes, I guess?
Right.
Erase some.
Well, I mean,
right?
If you're a liar, you kind of want to know what you've been lying about along the way.
True.
Maybe she might have sex tapes.
Hey.
Nobody wants to see those.
Hey, we'll send them to Dave. Get rid of them quick,
My stomach is turning.
I know. You see everybody filling up their spaghetti.
that is a place where we don't want to go.
Red card.
Yeah, absolutely.
Bill Clinton.
So the intrigue plays on, and they could end up being too clever by half. You could be absolutely right, but in the meantime, the political damage could be, far more than they could recover from. Because
I mean, you're pounding it in, and it, like everything, you're projecting an image. How do you change the image overnight? I don't think you can change it. I mean, it's working, and that's why I say, even like as foolish as maybe bumper stickers are, it keeps pounding the person's image in. It keeps pounding them in. So I think even if somebody believes she's innocent, which I can't believe anybody would, and if it's tried to be proved, I just don't think the public will buy it. She's guilty.
You had some bumper stickers there, too, last night.
I did.
And there was only a couple of those left at the end of the night.
I noticed.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah, so a lot of people were taking your bumper stickers as well.
But, Hillary's believers are always going to believe, though.
Well, that's one reason why I say politics.
Hardcore will.
Well, yes. Yeah, but that's one reason why I say politics is about professional wrestling. I was talking this afternoon with my pastor, Pastor Pete. Pastor Peter, yesterday was his birthday, and so
you meant Pete here.
No, happy birthday, Pastor.
Happy belated birthday to him. But we were talking, and Pastor Pete is a psychologist as well, and he was a counselor, and he was talking about, human beings are emotional creatures, and then we use the intellect to help us sort of control our emotions and help us, be social creatures, if you will. But at the end of the day, we are emotional beings. And that comes into play. And like I say, this is why I say politics is like professional wrestling. You get emotionally attached to your champion. And you don't care at that point what your champion mm-hmm. does or says, or because you rationalize that emotional feeling with, that's what they have to do to be my champion, you see?
Right.
So a lot of Democrats, the hardcore, as you call them, see Hillary and say, that's what she has to do to survive in this man's political world. And so they give her a total, pass on the whole thing. But that's why I say, in a way, their campaign strategy is sort of ingenious, because almost at every turn, they are trying to make her out to be the champion of the poor, the downtrodden, the women who don't get paid enough, the blacks, the whoever, the Hispanics. And if they can create in that voter's mind that she is the champion, and look what she has to go through for you, it actually makes them more committed to her.
Mm-hmm.
So in a way, it's kind of ingenious what they're doing.
Yeah, but it's party over country. I mean, it just makes me sick.
It absolutely is.
It should always be country first, party second, third, or fourth.
And that's why I think in this particular political season, although that will be effective to a degree, I don't think it would be as effective as if it would have happened just 4 years ago. I agree. Of the dissatisfaction throughout the land with the establishments of both parties.
That's right.
Not just the Republicans with the Republican Party, but Democrats with the Democrat Party, too.
It's not
as much as with the Republicans, but it's there. And mm-hmm. that's you can see it with Bernie Sanders.
You can. Oh, yeah. I mean, come on. The socialist and...
yeah.
And the popularity this guy has is unbelievable to me.
But his popularity, it comes from some of the same qualities as Trump, if you will.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that is the fact that he's comfortable in his own skin. He's proud of who he is.
Right.
And he's authentic. He's genuine. And if you don't like it, that's okay. But he's going to be his man.
Even though he's an insider, he's so weird, he's definitely an outsider. This guy is so off the wall. Every time I hear him speak, I'm thinking, is anybody really believe this guy? This is the most insane. If you have any economic background at all, everything he says is a farce, But
Absolutely right. I see we have Diane on the line. Diane, thank you for calling, and thank you for being there last night. It was a real treat, and thank you for the book you gave me.
Oh, you're welcome. I've been holding on to it for a while.
Well,
it was an amazing evening. Thank you so very much. And I want to thank Rachel Cohen. I love her so much. It was a real treat meeting her.
Oh, isn't she? I tell you what, she's just a delight. And she had to go to Washington, D.C. tonight, but she's going to be back in town next week, and we're going to get her back into the studio here, be a part of the show.
That's what she said. I love her. She's amazing.
Yeah, that little fork. That was great.
She really didn't want to do it.
But she was a sport. I tell you what, she was a good sport, and she said she would do it, and she showed up, and she did it. And I tell you, just all of them. I mean, you had the really serious competitors. You had Rachel, and you had Chris Kassler. But it just made for a great event. And,
I feel real bad for Reggie. I mean, he looks so down. Beginning.
The poor guy.
No, he's never down. He's doing fine.
He got smoked though.
He did. But it was an awesome time, and everybody had a great time, and it was thrilling. It was the highlight of my evening was seeing Lair.
A fellow by the name of Lair Adams showed up for a while. Yeah, it was great to treat.
Yeah,
great treat
to see
him. Rumor was Nostradamus was in the crowd somewhere too.
Yeah, he was. I saw Nostradamus. Yeah.
I didn't think I was supposed to mention that, but
he wasn't there.
There who?
But yeah, it was. It's just so good to be with you guys.
It is, and we'll be trying to do that sort of thing on a more regular basis, but it was a whole lot of fun, and we're going to put another one together. So, we'll be doing that again.
And as far as McCarthy goes,
I tell you, once again, in another day, in another era, he would be a fine Speaker of the House, but he's not what we need right now.
He is totally not what we need.
Because
he's a beaner guy.
No, and not just that, but it's the lies. it's the dishonesty, the disingenuousness that we're getting from him, and we're getting from Boehner. You know, like this was, you know, he prayed that morning and then decided just out of the blue.
Yeah,
no,
Papa.
This was in the works for quite some time. And
we need somebody that really doesn't want to be there, like George Washington didn't want to be there. We need somebody that's so humble.
Yeah, I think Dan Webster fits that category.
He worries me, though, Chris.
What's that?
He worries me.
I'm sorry, I didn't understand you.
He worries you.
He worries you. Dan Webster?
Yep.
Why?
His voting record.
He doesn't have as conservative a voting record as John Boehner. You're absolutely right about that. But it's his leadership style. His leadership style is to include everyone in the process, not try to exclude people like John Boehner did. So I think in that sense, and that's why you see some of the more conservative groups in the House backing Dan Webster, because he promises them a place at the table, if you will. And so that would be a huge step forward. But I do understand your concerns.
Well, it's going to be a prayerful deal, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, but that's one thing we need to be doing is definitely praying real hard that the right speaker does emerge out of this. So, but we'll stay on top of it. And as I said, Diane, we'll get if we get Dan Webster on, I'll ask him that question. I'll say, hey, you know, some people say you're not conservative as John Boehner was. Well, how did you respond to that?
And so, Glenn Beck's going to try and get him on.
Yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm. So, well.
Yeah, we'll see.
If anybody can draw him out, he can.
You're right about that. You're right about that. But he is a bona fide candidate, but you can tell the mainstream media is just writing him off because they want Kevin McCarthy in there.
Yeah, and we know why.
Yeah. So as far as I'm concerned, that's a good reason enough not to back Kevin McCarthy.
Absolutely.
Like I said, another day in time, he probably would have been a great speaker, but he's not what we need right now. This is one of the things that we need to take into consideration as we choose our favorites, is not so much, is it a great person or
something? It's the now and what's happening now.
Right.
Absolutely.
Is it the person who can do the job right now?
Yep.
And that will lead us, I think, in the right direction if we look at it that way. Diane, thanks again for all your support. I cannot thank you enough.
So much. And it was great meeting Aubrey for the first time.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You had not met him before.
No,
Our token African-American. He's a great guy, though, isn't he?
He's a great guy.
He sure is.
Absolutely. And I love Marilee. Love, love, love.
Oh, absolutely. And I tell you, I feel so, just listen, let me just say this personally. This show has been the greatest ride of my life, and it's because of the people that I have met doing this. And I'm talking about the people in the studio right here, and I'm talking about you folks out there. And
well, I feel the same. I mean, we're family.
We are. Indeed. We were talking about that last night. We not just an army. We're a family.
Yep.
And I'm glad you are a part of it.
Ditto.
All right. All right, thank you.
I love you guys.
We love you too. Thank you, Diane. We appreciate you so very much. And I meant what I said. You know, Mike, I wouldn't know you. I wouldn't know Lucas. I wouldn't know David. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't know Nick in there if it had not been for this show. And
you'll know more, because the more contests we throw, the more people you're going to know.
Yeah. Well, I certainly, you know, pray and thank God for this experience. And I hope you folks don't pray and hope that we go away, even though we have to do so for a short break. But we'll be back with more of the American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time Show.
It's political, professional wrestling at its finest. The American Adversaries.
All right, welcome back to the show, folks. That's right, you got the American Adversaries one more segment tonight. Of course, we'll be back tomorrow night with another big show lined up for you. Okay, I'm Christopher Hart. In the studio with me is David Levitt, Refresh Computers, also running for the Florida House.
Glad to be here again.
Dave4House.com is where you can help him out, find out about his platform. The chairman of the board, Mike McBath, is in here, and the NFLPA rep didn't do so great last night.
I know. I mean, he's representing 135 Central Florida former players, and he went down like a lead weight, you know? And he didn't eat enough spaghetti to go down that fast either. I mean, that was a discouraging moment for us former athletes. So we're going to remind him, when you get late in the day, when there's seven plates eaten and you have 2.5, Reggie, we're screaming, it's the fourth quarter. Keep pushing, keep pushing. And yeah, he pushed himself away from the table. That was a problem. So, you know, he may get another chance. You know, we'll ask him. I don't know if he'll falter or not. So
we're going to put together another one. But you can see what happened last night on YouTube. Go to Adversaries
That's
TV.
Worth watching, just to watch the expression in his face. And then when he knew he was defeated by a 19 or 18-year-old, he was in big trouble.
You could see him looking around going,
I know,
oh, no.
He knew there was a lot of grief coming. So, Reggie, we expect that you're not going to be in Nathan's this year, buddy.
And you have to give Luke his props again, too, for getting
Luke,
that video.
He was working on it.
There's some good video out there. I haven't looked at it yet, but I bet it's really
and
awesome.
The commentary he was doing, too.
It's a hectic, frenetic moment, but it's 23 minutes captured on the internet.
23 minutes, and it's on the internet for posterity's sake.
I know.
He was right in their faces sometimes.
He was.
Oh, I know.
I was inside the spaghetti.
I mean, this is great. The only thing, they didn't appreciate your hair in their spaghetti.
Didn't slow any of them down.
I know.
I don't think they even noticed, honestly. I mean,
after a while, not at all. Just keep eating, buddy, you know. But
anyway,
no,
you can see
adventure.
That. You can see that at your convenience, as well as tonight's show at your convenience, by going to YouTube, Adversaries TV. Type in Periscope. There it'll all be. And, of course, you can always listen to our shows on our archive at our website, AmericanAdversariesRadio.com. Nick does a great job of keeping those things up there and making it easy for you to find them and listen to the segments that you want to hear. And, of course, you can go and hear last night's show. Right, Nick? You got it up? He's already got it up.
That's amazing, Nick. I mean, did you edit it at all, or is this,
yeah, he does.
This live and natural?
Well, he takes down the commercials
he
and
does.
Stuff.
Oh, he does?
Yeah, so you just hear our show. So, you can join the American Adversaries Army there by going to the recruiting office, and you can sign up right there. And it's real easy to do.
Chris, go through the position. I want to be a general. Now, what's that cost?
General costs you $20. An
well,
officer costs $20 a month. Mm.
And I'm a general. Can I tell people I'm a general?
You sure can.
Okay.
General
all
of the
right.
American Adversaries
Am
Army.
Am I a general?
As a matter of fact.
That's right.
Would I be a general?
Well, you're
if
a general.
A
yeah, you're a general because you're a sponsor of the show.
I spend
absolutely.
At least that much a month. So,
yeah.
Okay.
And Mike's a general, too.
General David Levitt.
Yeah, that's right. General
Look at
Levitt.
That.
That's right. I think we should get ID cards made up. That'd
yeah,
be cool,
maybe.
Wouldn't it?
That's right.
Well, we have the general, then we have officers are $10 a month, and recruits are $5 a month.
Wow.
So you have three levels you can come in at.
Nice.
And everybody gets our newsletter. And then, of course, we have the special little perks, too, like our drawing last night. But the newsletter, we're putting the final touches on the October edition. And it'll be out, should be out this week.
We have a little football story.
You got a story in there.
A little football story. That's right.
That's right. You know? Yeah, we got you're just going to have to see it. See it to believe it.
Rather unique.
Yeah, John L. Casey's got a commentary in there as well. But it's a lot of great stuff. And, of course, you got coupons in there from our sponsors like Refresh Computer, Firm Foundation, of course, Cafe Positano. And I'm proud of the newsletter.
That $20 coupon from – that's really – I mean, that's real 20. You go in there, you have a martini.
20% off. So that can depending on how much you spend, that can mean more than $20.
Dave's rolling 100, 200 a night.
Hey, that's it. But David was there last night with the gift certificates for our American Adversaries Army members, $20 each.
$20 each, yeah. If you came out, we gave you a $20 gift certificate. If you were there and you are part of the American Adversaries Army and you did not get a $20 gift certificate, give the studio a call and give and let me know, and I'll make sure you get a certificate through Chris.
Yeah,
how's
absolutely.
That?
Absolutely. And it was the whole night was a hoot. And I tell you, that James Hall on the trumpet. And of course,
I agree
Grant
too.
Playing the banjo during the contest.
I enjoyed the banjo. That was just different.
It was.
I mean, even with the crowd noise, I could still hear it. It was enjoyable. Yeah. While people were screaming and yelling, and all the motions were coming forward.
I thought it really added to the ambiance.
Yeah, it did. This may be a new idea even from Nathan's. Maybe we'll see them, and there'll be somebody playing in the background. Then we'll go.
The fiddle, yeah.
I know where he got that. Come on now.
I want to compliment Mike McBath, because Mike, it was your idea to do this.
It was great.
And it was a fantastic idea.
Well, I liked it.
Now I know why the Preds were such a successful team when you owned them.
Well, you know, we did promotion after promotion.
You know how to hold a party, buddy. I'll tell you what. You know how to throw a party.
But it was just fun for everybody, and that's how you just, again, build the army, because everybody out there, all your constituency who listens to the show and everything, they had to enjoy it, and it was just fun radio, too. I had a number of people call in. They just laughed so hard. They said, this was the craziest thing we heard.
I don't believe this town has seen radio like that since Baxter and Mark on WDIZ back in the 80s, buddy. But it was cool. And
I think we'll go to pole dancing on the next one. I'm kidding.
I was thinking about a few things, but I didn't throw them out there.
We'll draw a big crowd, that's for sure. You know?
See, there's bikini contests.
There you go. Now we're talking, but anyway, we'll have fun with it the next go around. Real quick, the return of the Looney Tunes. No, I'm not talking about the cartoons. I wish I was. This is a story worthy of our WTF news that we do on Sunday night. I'll just read you a couple paragraphs from the Orlando Sentinel. Oh, doggone. They don't put the date on every page anymore. Those, sorry, you know what.
1982.
Can I say what I want to call them? Are we on the internet?
They're saving on
it's from Saturday's paper. scores of immigrants U.S. ousted could return. Get this. Hundreds of immigrants with mental disabilities who were deported from the United States after representing themselves in court may be allowed to return to the country under a settlement approved by a judge Friday. Did you catch all of that?
They were deported
after representing themselves in court. In other words, they had a hearing in court, and the judge said, "You're a Looney Tune. You're nuts. You're out of here."
Yeah, I wouldn't even support that one. Not unless you know that was proven that they were safe enough to come back and maybe live with their family. Who is going to take care of them
and pay the bills?
Yeah, the bills. But otherwise, not.
Well, federal judge, get this, Dolly G. That's
Hello,
her name.
Dolly.
Hello, Dolly
Yo,
G.
Baby.
You spell that last name G-E-E, so I guess that's D.
Oh,
Federal Judge Dolly G ruled that immigrants with serious mental disabilities will be able to have their cases reopened with the hopes of returning to the United States.
What a waste of money. Can you imagine the attorneys making money off of that? They got to be represented, right?
How can a person with a serious mental disability carry out such a case? Right?
So the
And if they were already deemed by
we
judges,
we need to send David down there. I want to see where my tax dollars are going. Dave, you're on the plane tomorrow.
All right. That's about going to wrap it up for tonight, folks. But once again, we want to thank you for listening to the show, and once again, wanted to appreciate all of you who showed up last night. And once again, it was a whole lot of fun. David Levitt, thanks again for being here tonight.
Thanks. Enjoyed myself as always.
Now, is it a week from tomorrow or 2 weeks from tomorrow? The Libertarian Seminole County.
It's always the second Wednesday of every month.
So that will be so 2 weeks from tomorrow.
2 weeks from tomorrow.
Tomorrow's the last day of September. Mm-hmm. All right. And, of course, Mike, you'll be back in tomorrow night. Lucas, thanks for being here.
Always.
And thanks to you folks for being out there. And don't forget, you can be a member of the American Adversaries Army, too. Real easy. Just go to AmericanAdversariesRadio.com. You can do it right now as soon as the show is over. And sign up as a recruit, an officer, or as a general. And we'll salute you when
we
see you.
Yo.
Yo. Good night, everybody.
Opinion. Passion. FM 105.5. AM 660. The Answer. WORL. Altamont Springs. Orlando.